The SportsMap Radio Network year-in-review show continues on. We look back at Georgia football. They came away with a national title, defeating Alabama back in January 33-18, and then they put together one heck of a season. We'll see if they win another national title. We're very happy to welcome onto the program someone who covers Georgia Bulldogs football for Dogs 24/7. He's Jordan D. Hill. You follow him on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill. Jordan, thank you so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Yeah, absolutely. And doing good. Pretty exciting time with Georgia as we talk about this. Stetson Bennett is getting ready to find out, what's next for him as far as being a Heisman candidate. And definitely an interesting time around the Georgia program.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it all starts last year when they win. Not last year, I guess one of the first things that technically happened this year was winning the national title. And it was a year where they see a loss to Alabama, and then they come back and beat Alabama. Just how important was that for what's really moved forward with this program to get that very important win against Alabama going back to last season?
You know, I think it was huge. I do think had Georgia won the national title last season and had not been against the Crimson Tide, I do think people maybe wouldn't have said there was an asterisk beside it, but they would have still said that essentially there was a giant that Georgia still had to conquer. And the fact it came against Alabama, a team that these last few years, as much success as Georgia has had under Kirby Smart, sort of been that hurdle they have not been able to get over. So I think that was huge, and I think it probably has benefited this team in 2022. You know, they carried that momentum, having beat what has been the class of the SEC for a decade plus. I think it was huge for Georgia. I think it only helped them this offseason. Lost a lot of talent, 14 starters from last year's team. But they've rolled right along, and now they sit two wins away from another national championship.
It feels like, and this can change at any moment, and obviously recruiting has a lot to do with it, but it feels like Georgia has moved by Alabama, where the top players want to go play at Georgia. Georgia is the premier program, and if we were talking this time last year, it wouldn't have been as easy to say that. How much of that is winning the national title? How much of it is just all the other work that has gone into kind of the way this program has evolved?
I think it's sort of a two-prong effect and sort of the result of a couple of different factors. I do think that championship helped, but I think the NFL success, to see five guys on the defense alone go in the first round last April, I do think that that was really meaningful as far as recruiting dividends going forward. You know, I think a lot of these high school kids, I'm sure they want to compete for championships, but the dream for so many of them is to be playing on Sundays. So I think you kind of put that talent and the ability to win like they have these last few years, and then winning the championship in 2021. I think it's just as much that they've continued to send guys to the league and not only get guys in the league, but, you know, get them paid. They had the number one overall pick last April. There's a real chance they could have the number one pick this April in Jalen Carter. So I think it's sort of a multi-pronged sort of results. I mean, the fact that they've had the success on the field, they've had the NFL obviously love watching these guys and really value these guys when it comes to the draft. And then you see these guys really succeed at the next level. I think that's done nothing but bolster what was already really, really strong recruiting under Kirby Smart and company.
2022, also the year where name, image, likeness really kind of takes hold, and it is certainly impacting programs. And if you're at a program where you have great fan support, more often than not, there's going to be some money that follows that in name, image, likeness. What has been the NIL impact on Georgia football?
You know, I don't think that they have really focused on it as much on a selling point for prospective recruits. Kirby Smart has talked about the fact that he does understand that matters to people, but it's not exactly a priority. I think the way Georgia really looks at it is to make sure they take care of kids once they get here. The Classic City Collective has done a lot of work making sure that happens. But going back to SEC Media Days, Kirby Smart talked about Dan Jackson, who's a walk-on. He has NIL deals that have essentially helped him with the fact that he's not on scholarship. And Kirby talked about another player who his father was ill, and, you know, getting NIL money helped with some of those medical bills. So I don't think Georgia's really tried to take the initiative in, as far as trying to sell NIL as the end-all, be-all in coming to Georgia. But there's no doubt that these players understand the opportunities that come with playing at Georgia. And again, I think that something Kirby's done a good job of selling to kids is, yeah, you know, you can make a few thousand dollars here or there in NIL, but look at the bigger picture. Look at what you can get by coming to Athens. And again, you know, they can look just back to April and those contracts that guys like Trayvon Walker, Quay Walker, Jordan Davis, some of those guys, what they were able to sign. I think they're really more focused on selling the bigger picture as far as what you can make one day playing on Sundays if you go to Georgia.
Stetson Bennett helps the team to a national title, and then he follows it up with just a fantastic season, throwing 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. What has been the difference? How much has a Stetson Bennett improved from a 2021 to a 2022?
Well, I think the biggest thing that a lot of people kind of lost sight of, and I think it definitely is easy to do when you're not around the program, was Stetson was not a guy that was taking first-team reps last year. Kirby Smart talked about a lot in fall camp in 2021. There was a point where Stetson's taking third-team reps behind JT Daniels and Carson Beck as well. So I think that it really benefited him really having an entire offseason where he was the guy. And, you know, he was working on those sort of connections with the receivers, understanding when to throw certain passes at certain times and knowing sort of the ticks and things to look for in the route running of his guys. I think that was huge. And, you know, I think it was another year of understanding what the expectation was. And, you know, something that was talked about a lot going into this season was the fact, of Stetson not trying to do too much and understanding that you can live to fight another day to not make what Kirby Smart described as boneheaded plays. And we haven't seen a ton of those. There's been a few that were probably mistakes and things he would want to have back. But on the whole, Stetson's done a really good job of holding on to football. And he's been a really, really productive runner as well. He's found the end zone several times on the ground and shook some guys that I think really left a few defenders quite confused and definitely a little bit disappointed knowing they were going to have to watch that back on Sunday.
I know there were some games during the year this year where they pulled away late, but from a final score perspective, every game was somewhat one-sided except for a scare against Missouri where they had to come back and win that one late. Just from a standpoint of just being dominating from start to finish, have you ever seen anything like this?
No, and I think, too, it's really interesting that part of the conversation coming off of this is, well, is this team better than last year? And it's a hard discussion to have. I think last year's defense was just an all-time great defense. And maybe this offense is a step better than it was a year ago, especially with the progress Stetson's made and Ladd McConkey making plays and the two tight end duo of Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington. I think you can make the argument the offense may be better. But, you know, they went into this year and sort of the talking point that Kirby really stressed was we're young, but we are we're talented, but we're inexperienced. That was sort of the thing he talked about throughout the summer getting ready for the year. We're talented, but we're inexperienced. And sort of coming out of that, you know, you sort of thought, well, we'll probably see the offense play pretty well. The offense may have to carry this team, but the defense, you know, we'll probably see some growing pains. And then week one, they only give up 3 points against Oregon. And a couple of weeks later, they play really well against South Carolina as well. So it sort of raised the bar. And the defense has had its moments where I wouldn't say they were perfect or, you know, they definitely had some issues. But on the whole, again, you lose 5 players that were picked in the first round, and they've had outstanding play from a number of guys. A good combination of players they already knew they could trust and several younger guys, including some freshmen along the way. It's been an outstanding thing to watch. And again, you know, you go in and they entered this year understanding that people were looking at them because they were the defending champs. And as difficult as that may be, they've risen to the level each week and continued to add wins to the win call.
I feel like this is a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it nonetheless. Going into 2023 and beyond, do we now look at Georgia the exact same way that maybe we've looked at Alabama the last 10 years, where there is a single goal every year, and that goal is to be national champions?
I think so. And, you know, that's not to say that Alabama is not still in that, because I'm not convinced that the Crimson Tide are done contending for national championships. I think they very much are still in the thick of it. But, yeah, I mean, Georgia has proven at this point that it can very well reload on a year-to-year basis. It's going to be very interesting when this year ends, whether that is in the semifinals in the Peach Bowl or if it's in the national championship game, just what the roster movement will look like as far as players leaving to go pro, if we'll see any more transfer portal players out, and also seeing who comes in through the portal. But, yeah, I think there's no doubt the way Georgia has continued to stockpile talent, the way that they've continued to really bring these guys along and develop talent, I think that you at the very least can pencil them in to play in the SEC championship year after year. And with that, you sort of understand as long as you go into that game with probably only one loss, you've got a very good chance, if you're able to win it, to go on to the playoffs.
He is Jordan D. Hill. He covers Georgia Athletics for Dogs 24/7. That's part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Follow him on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill. Jordan, a happy new year to you, and thank you so much for taking this time.
Absolutely enjoyed it. Happy new year to you as well.
That is Jordan Hill as we look back at the year that was for Georgia football, and obviously they still have a lot that they want to accomplish this season. When we return, we'll talk pro football. It was quite the year, and I don't mean it in a good way, for Deshaun Watson. Cody Stutes from ESPN 97.5 in Houston, he'll join us next. This is the Sports Map Radio 2022 Sports Year in Review.